Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
The Lord is good. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Aaron, Pastora, for having us, for your years of faithful support and partnership with us. When you support missionaries, you just never know what God's going to do, right? And I thank you for supporting all those missionaries you have on the wall there. Many of them are friends for many years. There's some new folks there. God is recruiting new people, right? And so we're looking for missionaries, new missionaries too, because we are the missionary population. Like a large part of them are getting, they're not getting any younger, let's just put it that way. And so if you're interested in being a missionary to Guatemala, we need you. And if God's calling you to another country, we're here to help support you with that. So I have information on the table if you want a little more about that. And on the back, we have prayer cards. If you would take one and pray for us, take a few extras to give to a friend. Got our information, our website, and so forth. You can learn more about that. So my wife is in Clemens. Oftentimes we're in two different places because we got too many places to be in a short period of time. So we thank you for your prayers over the years and for your prayers for protection and so forth. About 6 weeks ago, we were in a head-on collision in Texas, and this crazy lady was chasing her boyfriend, and it ended up, our Saturday ended up in a big bang, just put it that way. And by the grace of God, if you saw the picture of the car that hit us, God is merciful, right? And so we weren't seriously injured, but bruised up pretty good. My wife still got some pain from that. The lady was 22 years old. She needs Jesus. And I don't know how she walked away from her car because it was pretty tore up. So I don't remember her name, but she needs the Lord. So say a prayer for her because she's in a heap of trouble. So, but God is faithful. Amen. He delivers us and saves us. So on the video, we got to Guatemala a few months, and then this thing called COVID hit the world. And here we are in Guatemala, and we're just kind of trying to get started, and the country shuts down for about 3 years. The first 2 years, it was pretty locked up. We had curfews. You couldn't leave your house after 4 o'clock in the afternoon for the first several weeks, and then they lightened that curfew up some, and then we couldn't go out on weekends, couldn't walk outside at night, and so that's kind of how the first couple years transpired for us. As you saw in the video, what we begin to do then is we begin to contact pastors and say, give us 10 people from your church, that representatives, and then 10 people from your community that don't go to your church, and we'll come and we'll bring food for 20 families. And so we did that all over Guatemala for a couple years or so, and we would give a short message. We would have an hour. So the government had restrictions, and so we tried to follow those as best as we could. And like they said, you could have 10 people for a half hour. So since we believe in a double portion of the anointing, we took 20 people for an hour, right? And so we would share, and then we would invite them to come up. There'd be four of us across, spread out. We'd invite them to come up and ask them if they needed the Lord, and ask them what kind of prayers, if they needed prayer, and we'd hug them. And just love on them, because you know, when weeks and months go by and they can't go to church, and in Guatemala and Central America, most of Latin America, church is like the center of their lives, because many of them don't have much besides the Lord. And so you can imagine the heart of a pastor when he cannot be with his people and he can't pray for them, he can't visit them, he can't love on them. And so when we come and we are able to distribute food and pray for his people and love on them, because people are home back in Ohio and the United States supporting us and providing resources so that we can bless those people, it just touches the heart of those pastors tremendously. And so as an extension of your church, those kind of things transpire. And other missionaries that you support around the world, the Lord used them in great ways during COVID as well, right? And so the enemy tried to shut the world down, but God uses those chaotic moments to bring the light into the dark place. And it really opens doors that we could not have otherwise walked through. It's really amazing what the Lord had did in that period of time. And so we are to do that. And then Pastor mentioned Living Free. We do the biblical counseling training for pastors, but we also have a ministry called Living Free. In Spanish, it's called Be Libre. And I have some brochures about this. So it's really a small group discipleship with a recovery element, or helping people with their struggles in life, divorce, anger, drugs, restoring families. There's like, in English, there's like 33 topics. We do have an online academy in Spanish and English. We started the online academy in Spanish last year. And my first online academy, we had 13 students from 7 different Spanish-speaking countries. So it's pretty amazing with the technology. And one of the things that came out of COVID was Zoom, right? And I got so tired of Zoom, but you know what? It's a great tool. And so we can train Spanish-speaking people and Living Free all over the world. They're Spanish speakers through Zoom. And because I can only be in one country at a time. And so, and there's an online academy in English as well. It's about 5 weeks long. There's training within a church body and whatnot. And so, and there are also Living Free groups online, like on a Monday night or a Thursday night. So you can participate in those. But if you want more information, we have it for you. And we'd be glad to network with Pastor Aaron. And if you have an interest, just let me know. Amen. And so you saw in the video Casa Tabita. So that's a really amazing story, because what happened was, we were in the country about a year, and then COVID had everything locked down. And some good friends of mine, Les and Charlene Milton, who we knew from Honduras, they've been missionaries with the Pentecostal Church of God Americas for many, many years. So they had this desire, because they were helping a home for abused girls up in the Petén, which is in the north central part of the country, where there's ruins. We're famous for the ruins. And so in Guatemala, I've heard between 60 to 80% of young women and girls are abused, 60 to 80%. And so when they turn 18, the law says they have to leave those homes. They cannot stay. So where do these girls go? To the streets, back to their community where they're abused. They're going to end up with a knucklehead boyfriend, and probably, they'll probably become pregnant, get involved in prostitution, and get on drugs. That's not the course for all of them, but that is kind of like, they don't have much future. So we begin to partner together and begin to seek for property. Well, the Pentecostal Church of God of America, they said, hey, we have land in our Bible school grounds. And so they gave us the land. And me and Les, they gave us the land, which is incredible, because they're not assemblies. So how many of you know that sometimes we don't all play together very nice in the same sandbox, right? And so when you cross denominational lines in Latin America, well, in Guatemala, that's just unheard of. So God brought us together, and we got the land. Well, Les and Charlene, and pray for Les, because his wife passed away a couple of months ago. We were able to attend her funeral. Great, great lady of the Lord. And just unexpectedly, she had a stroke and she went to be with Jesus. So Les is back in Guatemala. And so pray for him and his kids. But so we're working on this project. Les is going back home to itinerate. And we're just been in the country about a year. We have no budget to build a program, to build a building. And so we put a couple sentences in the newsletter. I went out in December, and so a brother I know, a pastor I knew from Ohio, was in Pennsylvania, and he sends me a message, give me a little information, Dave. So I did. A little bit later, he says, give me a little more. I have a board meeting. We have some leftover missions money for the year. I'm like, okay, praise the Lord. We'll probably get $1,000, $2,000, right? Well, they send $30,000. Amen? And I'm like, oh, Lord, I wish every church had a little extra missions money than me, right? And so then shortly after that, Global Teen Challenge contacts me. And they send 50 grand. Amen? So with very little effort, we had our share of the money in the build. And that's amazing. All the years I've been in ministry, over 40 years, I've never had an experience like that. And so I pray that we have another experience like that soon. So, amen. And so we build the building. And I don't have time to tell you all the things the Lord did in the last couple weeks. We are in Guatemala just to throw that whole thing together. Sent us a missionary from Global Teen Challenge to help oversee the ministry while we're gone. God gave us five ladies at the last minute that have been Bible school students, been through the school of missions, and they're rocking it. They're knocking the ball out of the park. I mean, it's amazing how the quality of these workers that the Lord has sent us, and they're just promoting the ministry. One of them got a connection with the National Guatemalan Attorney General, and they're getting these connections. And just a few weeks ago, a month ago or so, we got a grant to buy a $12,000 grant to build a bakery, buy a bakery equipment. So now they're producing bread or sweet breads, and they're packaging them. If you go to Casa Tabita on Facebook, you'll see. And I tell you, I'm just so amazed and overwhelmed what God does. What God does. You know, when you go to a country, you don't know anybody, you show up there, and you just know God sent you, and you just do what God puts in front of you, and you go to serve, and the Lord just does amazing things. Incredible. And so all the missionaries that you support have stories, right? God, let me tell you, God is alive, and he's active in this world today. Amen? Amen? He's alive, and he's showing himself glorious. And in the midst of the chaos in the world that we live in today, the political situation, all the stuff's going on, the disasters, Israel, Russia, let me tell you something. God is shining brighter today, and more things are happening around this globe than we can anticipate. So let us look to Christ, right? Let's look to the mountains where our help comes from, because God is looking for individuals and churches where he can move and touch people's lives. And they say, if Dan Betcher used to say, if God can get it through you, he'll get it to you, right? And so as you guys have blessed many missionaries over the years, God's going to continue to multiply your resources. So you can do what God's called you to do here in Painesville and the surrounding area, this region, and around the world. Amen. And so, yeah, give the Lord a hand. Amen. So we got the bakery going, and you saw Esmeralda on the thing. She came. She went to one of these homes for young girls at a very early age. She doesn't know who her parents are. She doesn't know if she has siblings. She doesn't know any of her relatives. So she came out of a home for abused girls. But she's found a home. She's found a family at Casa Tabita, Teen Challenge. Amen? Amen? And so pray for her and many girls like her, because the trauma they suffer from being abused at an early age, that trauma, the effects of that trauma, most likely will affect them the rest of their lives. Jesus can heal and set free and empower us and transform us, but there are scars from the results of sin and sins that other people inflict upon us. So with your prayers and your help, we can continue to do the ministry of Casa Tabita. Right now it costs about $3,000 a month, and so we need to expand. We need to get this thing going full speed, getting more people trained, and then, Lord willing, in the future, be able to expand, because the need is so great. The need is so great, and there's so many boys and girls, you know, boys are abused as well. But the Lord, my wife and I, we ran Teen Challenge, a women's program in Columbus, Ohio, when we first came to Ohio in 1992, just a few years ago, right? And the Lord's been good ever since, right? So Marie and I left our church just over 20 years ago to become Assembly of God. We're a world missionaries, and Painesville Assembly has been part of that for many, many years. So just pray. Pray for the Casa Tabita, for the workers, the staff, and what God, and the Esmeraldas of Guatemala. She's one out of thousands and thousands of young ladies and women that are abused. So we believe that God wants to heal and restore, get them off their addictions, get them healed up, train them, disciple them, and raise them up to be in ministry. Amen? And this is the day that we need to push in even more, because Christ is coming soon. Amen? Amen. So those are, in a nutshell, that's kind of what we've been up to, what we've been doing. We stayed an extra half a year because COVID had locked the country down, and we just needed to solidify some things and get some groundwork done. Myra and Carlos, a young couple who's helping with the pastoral biblical training, they're a super young couple. They have a church. They're contemporary. They're awesome young people. They have degrees in psychology, and God just put them in our path. It's just one of those divine appointments, divine friendships, and they're running with it, and we just are so, so happy, because, you know, right now in the world, emotional needs have gone off the charts after COVID. A lot of people struggle with mental health issues, some small ones and some larger ones. But, you know, the church, God put us here because the Holy Spirit is called the great counselor, the great comforter, right? And so God wants to bring the broken to us so they can experience the love of Christ and the healing power of Jesus and be set free and go on to live the life that God has called us to live. Amen? And so I read a verse this morning, and I've been thinking about it, and it's been challenging me. Jesus said, "He who drinks of the water that I'll give will never thirst again." Never thirst again. And I got to thinking about that. Lord, why do we get discouraged sometimes? Why does your church sometimes get sidetracked? And the only thing I can think of is because I need to drink more of Jesus. I need to drink more of the Holy Spirit, right? Not that our problems aren't important or they'll just go away. But when I'm full of the living water that God gives me, it'll bring healing, it'll bring deliverance. It'll set captives free, like you see the ladies coming to Casa Tabita. Amen? So this morning, as I am sharing my message, drink of the Holy Spirit this morning. Amen? He's here, and we felt His presence in the worship. Amen? And He's with us. So I want to encourage you this morning, open your heart and just let God speak to you anew and afresh. Amen? And doesn't matter if you're in elementary school or if you're midlife, God might call you to be a missionary. Amen? And I believe that's very, very well possible. Amen? So this morning, I want to share a message called More Than a Moment. More Than a Moment. And if you could just throw the first slide of the PowerPoint up and just leave it there. I appreciate it. Just give these guys in the back a hand, amen, the technical team. Amen, and the worship team. You know, it takes a whole group of people to have a great, great service, amen. So this morning I want to talk to you about more than a moment, more than a moment. There's a movement in you, amen. More than a moment, there's a movement in every one of us. Father, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to share here at Painesville Assembly of God. Father, this church who supported us and many other missionaries for many years, bless this church, God. Bring in more resources. Fill the house, God, with those who need Christ. Help Pastor Aaron and his wife to make great disciples, Lord God. Raise up a work. And Father, I pray that you bless Painesville and the leadership for be willing to lend a hand to Chardon Assembly of God. God, that speaks volumes to me. And so, Father, as they partner with Chardon, we lift them up today, God, that you would do a new thing there. God, you'd fill that place, God, with people, Father God, who are lost. They would find Christ. Help me to share your word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen? So we are, Assemblies of God is about 110 years old. And I'm talking today about more than a moment. There's a movement in each and every one of us. And so a lot of you may know the story. Some of you may not. The history of the Assemblies of God. 110 years ago, 300 people went to Hot Springs, Arkansas because the Holy Spirit had begun to fall in the United States and around the world new and afresh. So 300 people come to Hot Springs, Arkansas. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit. At this time, the Assemblies of God does not exist. And so these folks are on fire for God. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit. They're super excited. And they come to seek the Lord. And they said, we want to be the greatest evangelistic missions movement the world has ever known. Amen? And because of the power of the Holy Spirit, God led them to form the Assemblies of God. And from that day, from that meeting, they sent out 30 missionaries around the world. 30 missionaries. That was a moment, a historical moment for those 300 people and for the birthing of the Assemblies of God. Now today, we have over 80 million members around the world. That's awesome, right? And we have over 750,000 churches. 110 years go by, they had sought the Lord, and they had their moment, but it produced into a Pentecostal movement. It has touched this world in great, great measure that we don't even know some of the stuff that's taking place. And I would venture to say, we know about 80 million members plus, but I would venture to say there's a lot more people that have been touched by Assembly of God missionaries and pastors around the world that we even have the ability to know. Like Global University, Global and ICI and Berean School of the Bible. It's all over the world. And in Vietnam alone, there are thousands and thousands of people that are studying through Berean or Global University that we don't even know about because it's a communist country. There's stuff happening all over the world because 300 people came together, they sought God, and they had a movement, a moment that turned into a movement, right? And so one of the things we do in Guatemala is I preach a lot on the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Lord willing, at the end of my message, if you want prayer to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're here to pray for you today. If you need healing, we're here to pray for your healing. Because that's what the Lord said that he would do for us. He would fill us with the Holy Spirit, he would heal us, and so much, much more. And so I have this little book, it's called How to Be Filled with the Holy Spirit by A.W. Tozer. And it's one of the best books on the baptism or the Holy Spirit, not just speaking in tongues, but the Holy Spirit that you can find. A.W. Tozer was a great pastor and a theologian in the 40s and 50s, and this book is so relevant for today. So they're only $5. That's all I pay for them. I make nothing off of them, but I just want as many of God's people who want to read this book, I'll have it available afterwards. So here we are all these years later, and the Assemblies of God and other Pentecostal groups have all over the world because God began to plant a seed so many years ago. Amen? So before I read in, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 3, but before I read that, I just want to share this. There's more than a moment in you. There's a movement in you. Movements don't happen overnight. They begin with a moment. Then they require obedience, faith, trust, sacrifice, suffering, and letting go of the past. And letting go of the past can be a big issue for a lot of us because the past is security, the past is comfort. I know the past. But to receive the new, to receive what God has for me, sometimes I have to let go of the past. To be a missionary, I had to let go of my church. I had to leave my friends, my family. I had to leave career opportunities. Good transitions, we have to let go. I can't have one foot in the past and believe God for the future. Now, the past is a good foundation. It's helped me get to where I am today. But sometimes we have to let go of the past, of the hurts and the pain and the anger that we experience in our life. We need to let God use those as school teachers to lead us in the right direction. But we have to give it to God and trust Him for the future. So you who are parents and grandparents, if you have a grandchild or a child that says they want to be a missionary, you got to let them go. Don't hang on to them and say, oh, and do the crying and all that, but let them go. Amen? Because there are millions of people, billions of people that need Jesus. Amen? So a movement requires obedience, faith, trust, sacrifice, suffering, and letting go of the past. Some of you are going to suffer greatly this afternoon if you watch the Browns, but, you know, then you can let that go, right? And the Bible teaches us that we have to have endurance, Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, and perseverance, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. So with endurance and perseverance and the power of the Holy Spirit, God can birth movements in us. Amen? This church is here because many, 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 many years ago, God impressed upon someone's heart to come. May all of our churches. And we are the beneficiaries of people's moments with God. So let God work through in our lives, give us moments, and let other people be beneficiaries. So you may have had a moment years ago, maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to you. You had a moment with God, you know, salvation, water baptism, baptism of the Holy Spirit. And other moments. I remember I could tell you where I was in October 1982 when God called me to be a missionary. I can tell you of a time when I was waiting for my brothers to show up at the church. We used to go every week to the maximum security prison in Jackson, Michigan. I was there praying. I was about a year and a half in the Lord, and the Lord spoke to me, Proverbs 69, man's heart divides his ways, but God directs his steps. So many of you have had moments with God, and life happens, and those moments fade to the back. I'm here to tell you today that those moments are real, as real today as when God first spoke to you. He'll renew those, like, you know, like when you have a fire and it goes out, and the coals are still there, but you put a little air on them, and they ignite. Maybe this morning the Holy Spirit will breathe on your moment and ignite it again, and put that alive in front of you. Amen? And maybe you say, Pastor Dave, I've never had a moment, a significant moment. Well, if you know Jesus, you did, for sure. But maybe today the Holy Spirit will give you a new moment or a moment that you have not yet had. Because we are living in the last days, and it's going to get darker, but the power of the Holy Spirit is going to become brighter and greater in these days. Amen. So here, Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. You know the story. It's about Moses. It says, now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of the Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked at the bush, and behold, it was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn to see this great sight, why the bush has not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called out to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. So there's a couple things here that I want to point out quickly. So Moses is there. He's on the backside of the desert. He's been a shepherd for 40 years. He was the prince of Egypt, one of the most intelligent, educated men that ever lived in the world that day. And he took matters of his own hands and fled the Midian and was there for 40 years tending sheep. And he's on the backside of the desert tending sheep. And these aren't even his sheep. They're his father-in-law's sheep. So Moses goes from the prince of Egypt to having nothing. And you say, Pastor Dave, what kind of moment can I have with God? I have nothing. You have a whole lot more than Moses had. And Moses had this moment with God, where's the mountain of God? The mountain of God is not in the middle of a vibrant revival movement, which is great. But here the mountain of God for Moses was in the desert. The desert's not like where we want to be. We don't want to be in trials and hard times. But Moses had his moment with God in the desert. Because oftentimes when we're kind of in that desert place, we tend to give God a little more of our ear. At least I do, right? And so here's Moses. So he's got to deal with his insecurities. He's got to deal with, I'm a failure. I was the greatest, the second or third greatest man in the world. Now I'm like got these stinky sheep. And they're not even mine. And so maybe you've lived your life and people have talked down to you and people have spoken bad things over you. And you may feel like you're insignificant, that you have no value. And Moses had to deal with all that insecurity and all that mistakes he made. And the Bible says when Moses said, hey, I'm going to check this bush out. And he turns. Then God speaks to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. So when the word says when God saw Moses turn, God spoke. And sometimes we're looking for a moment, we're looking for God to speak to us. But are we willing to turn our posture? Are we willing to turn our lives in a direction to maybe see what God's doing? Maybe to see what God's speaking? Or do we just continue to walk down the path and wonder why we don't hear the voice of God? But if you find yourself in a desert situation, if you find yourself and something's happening, something's stirring, take a moment to turn to see what's happening. To make time in your schedule or do something where you purposely turn to seek after what God is saying. And he'll speak to you as he spoke to Moses. And from Moses' moment, you know the story, Israel was set free after 400 years of captivity to Egypt. Amen? So give God a chance. Open your heart and make a way for the Lord. Amen? And he'll meet you. He'll meet you. And then we have Joshua. Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Moses had passed away. And God says to Joshua, Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. And Joshua's like, I know that. Right? And so God brings it to Joshua's attention. And here's Joshua. He was the assistant pastor for 40 years in the wilderness, a man of faith like Caleb. And Moses is dead, and now the nation rests upon Joshua's shoulders. And Joshua's like, my Moses is dead. My security, my everything is dead. He's gone. I have no mentor. I have no leader. What am I going to do? I am no Moses. And four times in Joshua chapter 1, God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. Do not fear, but be strong and courageous. Why? Why did he do it four times? Because Joshua was obviously not strong and he wasn't being courageous. And so God came in Joshua had that moment, and then he leads the nation of Israel across the flooded Jordan, and you know the story of Jericho. Joshua had a moment with God. He had the defining moment with God. And you know, you and I will have the defining moments with God. And we can say, yes, Lord. And in spite of my fears, in spite of my doubts, in spite of my inabilities, I'm going to take those steps forward by faith. You know, Marie and I spent 2.5 years in Asia Pacific as a single person. Marie spent 1.5 years. It was going to be a 10-week missions trip over the summer, 1.5 years in Mexico and Honduras. We moved to Ohio from Minnesota And I was born and raised in Michigan, so God sent me to 47 East 12th Avenue, the Run Teen Challenge, right on the main entrance to OSU, and I called it Pentecostal Purgatory. And so so I've been taking abuse from Buckeye fans for over 20 years, so over 30 years. And so we go to countries and we don't know, but God is faithful. And God is faithful, so let God speak to you. Let him give you a moment, because you never know what God will do. I'm one of the most unlikely candidates to be an ordained minister with the Assemblies of God and go to different countries and start churches and teen challenge programs, because my history from the very first day of school did not end well, all the way through high school. But God got a hold of my heart on a Super Bowl Sunday night in an Assembly of God church that was full of the Holy Spirit, set me free of drug use for 10 years in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So for our teen challenge brothers, you guys have had moments, but God's got great things, right? Amen? So let God speak to you. Let God motivate you. Let God... He's not looking for the strong and the mighty. He's not looking for the people who have it all together. Over the years, I've become well-educated. My daughter and my wife are well-educated. We're educated people. But I don't want to put my trust in my talents and my abilities and my education. I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit even more now today than ever. We cannot allow, as Assembly of God, we cannot allow our movement to be carried by our talents and our abilities and our education. We must rely on the Holy Spirit. And like the Apostle Paul was very educated, but when he had the anointing of God, he did marvelous things. We cannot allow this missionary movement to die out. We cannot allow the Assemblies of God just become like every other denomination that's been around. We need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We need more moments with God. Amen? And God will do it. And then we look at some other characters in the Bible. And there was three ladies in the Bible, Sarah, Hannah, and Elizabeth. Sarah was Abraham's wife. She had a child. And the history of Israel was born. Elizabeth was John the Baptist's mom. And her husband, Zechariah, had this moment with God, and the angel came and spoke, and he didn't believe the report. Whose report will we believe? I believe in the what? Report. Where's my children's workers? I believe in the report of the Lord, right? And so, but he didn't. And so the angel of the Lord said, you're not going to speak for 9 months until the baby's born, right? And Elizabeth said, oh, my Lord God, thank you for answering my prayer. And you know, those were probably the best 9 months of their marriage, because or at least he couldn't get himself in hot water. Because how many of you husbands know that you try to explain yourself, you just get a deeper hole, right? So these ladies had their moments with God, and John the Baptist came and was born. And then there's another lady named Hannah. Hannah was in the Old Testament, and she was barren. All these women were barren. And in those culture, if you were a barren, if you're a lady that couldn't have children, it was like you were cursed. You were the worst of the worst. And so Hannah couldn't have any children, but her husband had another wife. And she had kids. And she kind of lorded over her and kind of looked down on Hannah. So Hannah's praying. Every year they go to the temple to pray and to seek God. So here's the spiritual climate of Israel. Eli was the high priest. And his two sons were priests. And they would take the best meat for themselves. And they would sleep with women that would come into the temple. And these were evil men, the high priest's sons. And Eli had no spiritual intuition, no ability to discern what was going on, because he allowed his sons to continue with his sin. It was so bad that God put his two sons to death. That was the spiritual climate of Israel at the time. The high priest's family was they were backslidden. So here's Hannah, and she's going to the temple, and she's pouring her heart to God. And the high priest says, calls her out in front of everybody and says, "You're drunk. Like, deal with your own business, dude," right? And so she was shamed in front of the nation of Israel from a backslidden high priest. Probably the hurt and the grief and the shame that caused upon her. We have people that leave church, never come back because someone took their parking spot in the parking lot. I don't know, right? And so this is a real issue. And so God honors her prayer. She has a moment with God and she says, "Lord, you give me a son, I will dedicate him to you." And the Bible says after she had Samuel, and after she weaned him, she took him to the house of God. She placed that promised child in the hands of a backslidden high priest. You're talking about faith. You're talking about his two sons were evil. Can you imagine giving your most precious child into a house of God with that kind of spiritual lack of spiritual atmosphere? And Samuel became a great prophet and a judge of Israel for 40 years. She had a moment with God. She trusted God with that moment, and Samuel ruled over Israel and led Israel for 40 years and anointed Saul and then anointed David as king. So what's your moment with God? What has God spoken to you? What does God have for your life and for your children and generations after you? Because we're not just here sowing for ourselves. We're sowing into a movement that will continue long when we're up, when we're pushing daisies and eating at the largest pizza buffet in the universe, right? Our moment will still be living. Our faithfulness to God will still be having effects. Amen? Amen? Yes, give the Lord a hand. So I got two more. I got a lot more biblical characters, but I got two more I want to share with you. Two more stories, and then I'm going to wrap up. So here's Jesus, and he's been preaching for many days, right? And there's no food. And no football snacks, no food. And the disciples say, "Lord, send them away. We really love these people. We care about them. They need something to eat. Get them out of here," right? And Jesus doesn't send anybody away. And sometimes we get tired and we just kind of like want to retreat, right? So Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." Like us? Us? Well, that'd be like how many months' wages? And I thought they were concerned about these people. Like, Jesus, they're hungry. Well, when he turns the table on them and says, "You do something for them." Oh, hey, Pastor. Then we change the subject, right? So Jesus says, "What do you got?" And so here's this boy. He brings his five-piece Chick-fil-A nuggets and a couple biscuits. And those disciples are like, "I would like some of those nuggets." And Jesus takes it, lifts it up, and blesses it. And here's where the miracle comes. He puts it back in the hands of those doubting disciples. And then multiplies it. And 5,000 men plus women and children are fed from a few chicken nuggets from Chick-fil-A. What's in your hand? What's God put in your hand? What resources do you have? The Lord wants them. He wants to multiply them. He wants to send more missionaries. He wants to do a greater work in Painesville in Northeast Ohio. Don't limit God. Let him turn your moment into a movement. Amen? Seeds of a Movement, Cash Lapone, Guatemala. A little backstory here. There's this area called Cashlapone. One of our Assembly of God missionaries lived in a village close to this village up in the mountains, about 10 hours from where I live. It's a closed community, not easy to get to, but thank God for speed of light, we could get up this mountain at night. And the next day when I saw the path we went up, I'm like, oh my God, it was good we went at night because it was pretty scary. And so this pastor tries to go to Cashlapone. The elders of the city meet him with machetes and said, you can't come in. A few, after that, shortly, one of our Spanish Eastern missionaries flew over and the plane threw literature out. And what we would call the mayor of the village got the brochure, one of the pieces of literature, called my friend Luis and said, will you help us? This is during COVID. Way up there, it's hard to get to in a normal, good situation. So he said, we'll bring food if you allow us to preach. Next line. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hands. Next line. Small beginnings, a seed. Here we are. We arrive at the top of the mountain there with the village. That truck and two other vehicles full of food. Next line. They gathered at the community center to hear a message of hope and salvation. Amen. Next line. 180 people in the community, every family received groceries that day. Every one of them. And then we were able to preach salvation message to them. Next line. So around 40 people gave their life to Jesus Christ. Amen. As far as we know, we were the first evangelicals ever in that community. I was the first evangelical preacher to ever preach in that community. What an awesome opportunity. Amen. There are dozens of other villages like this all across Guatemala and Latin America. So when you invest, when Pastor does faith promises, when he encourages you to give, remember these stories, remember these moments, right? Our moment turned into a movement in this community. Next line. Here's a lady just getting her food, and what a blessing, right? Here, next line. These ladies, we sent money ahead, and they made a soup for 1,200 people. Every person in that community we fed. So we gave them food for their families and we gave them a soup. Amen. Here's the next line. Here's an Assembly of God, Mount Zion Assembly of God, Cashlapone, Guatemala. This community who said you cannot come in because they needed food because of COVID, the Lord opened the door, gave us a moment. This community said no, gave land, and now there's an Assembly of God church. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me? If I can help with the musicians, that'd be awesome. So, what is your moment with God? Have you had a moment with the Lord? And wherever, if you're flown in that moment, praise God. If you're moving towards that movement, awesome. But you know, if you had a moment and just life happened, and you say, Lord, I want to go forward with this. Lord, I want you to produce a movement in me. Maybe you can't go to Cashlapone, or maybe you can't start a teen challenge center in another country. But you can do something here in Paintsville. You can do something in Cleveland. You can do something in your local church. But you know what? I didn't get to be a missionary for 20 years. I've been doing missions for over 30 years, home and form. But I didn't get there overnight. It started with a movement. It said, Lord, come to my heart. Then it started cleaning toilets, and it started just serving in the church any way possible. And the Lord just is faithful.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Paintsville Assembly of God, visit paintsvilleag.com.